will be in about verse 8. I'm going to cover some things real quick before we get started. Last night, you can't ever get your crowd back. Amen. Every service is unique. Amen. Every service is unique. This crowd will never come together just like this ever again. We'll never worship like this again. Amen. But I said something last night, and I caught myself in this. I had a weird day. Some of y'all know. I'll talk about that in a minute. But I had a moment. God showed me yesterday. I was preaching, and when I first started, I said something like, God wants to hear your testimony. Amen. And I was talking about some of the older folk. I said, some of that, and I'm not older in age, but maybe experience in this church. And I come at it from a perspective. God really put it on my heart to share this with you. It's a perspective. I need to look at things in perspective sometimes. See, I'm verbal. I'm a preacher. Amen? Preacher and teacher. And I'm verbal. So a lot of stuff I look at from a verbal standpoint. Amen? What should have been said is this. What I would like for you to do and what God wants you to do in this church, no matter how long you've been here, is be obedient to Him when He tells you to be obedient. Does that sound better? Hey, God really wore me out about that today. So I want you to hear this. God doesn't care how loud you are or what you really do if you're not doing it for the right reasons. See, I had a perspective is my wife is not as vocal as I am, but she's done just as much in the Spirit of God that I have in the last 15 years. But for me to expect her to be loud would be for her to be out of her nature. But if God moves on her, she moves in the way that God says to move on her. And now, I want you to understand that. I wish I could go back last night and say it in front of the crowd that was here last night. Because God doesn't expect you to do anything but what He asks you to do. And if that's shout, shout. If that's weep before Him, weep before Him. If that's to fall on this altar and cry out to Him, if it's just to sit there and absorb the Word of God. You know, y'all got that? I wasn't going to tell you about this next part, but I don't know, I'm probably about 70% right now, and I don't know what percentage that is. It's kind of weird. But last night after we left here, I got home. I mean, the minute I walked in the door, my body went into like some kind of weird shock deal. And I mean, it just started trembling for like 3 hours. And I wasn't being weird when I didn't shake any of your hands this evening. I think it was food poisoning, but I didn't want to shake everybody's hand and it not be. Just taking roulette with you guys. Tony, I'm sorry for shaking your hand. I didn't want to look real rude because you was already way out there. You know what I mean? So if anything happens, sorry. But we think it's food poisoning. But that went on for about 2.5 hours. Then Melissa said, go turn the heat on. Then about 3 hours later, turn the heat off, turn the air on. So all night, she was like a pit crew. She's giving me water and doing all this stuff. But I don't know when it happened. But in the midst of it, I just began to worship God. At first I thought it was a fever, but I remember it. Because I've been, man, God's blessed me with good health for a long time, and I've not been sick, and I can't remember when. And I just started saying, God, you're good. God, you're worthy. You're holy. And God, I don't care in this, even if this goes on for a week, even if I don't get to go back to revival tomorrow, even if I don't get to go back to the meeting, I want to go because I want to see what you're doing. I said, God, I don't even care if I get to preach. I just want to see what you're doing, but I'm going to praise you. And the next thing you know, it was, I ain't being weird, but it seemed like God, I didn't start feeling better right away, but it seemed like He got into bed with me and I began to weep. Melissa goes, are you okay? And I'm like, if I got sick to feel the presence of God like I'm feeling Him right now, this will be worth it. Because He's here. He's here. Man. I didn't want to come tonight. I was like, oh, okay, I got to get there because the meeting won't go on without me. God, everything will go on without me. Amen. But I just love Him. Amen. In 2004, I fell in love with Jesus. I started reading His Word. I started trying to find out about Him. And I had a passionate desire to know more about Him. And this Word saved me. Amen? And then one day He turned it over and said, share it with somebody else. And I've been able to do that for the majority of time since I've been saved. And I was glad that I got to come here tonight and preach. Y'all pray for me as we share God's Word. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. I love this. And maybe you'll find yourself in the Scripture tonight. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now this is Elijah. Elijah's in a weird place right now. Elijah's running from King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Amen. And he's running after a point where he calls and says, let there be no rain for three years. Amen. Ain't that cool that he called it and said, there's not going to be no rain for 3 years? As a preacher, sometimes we like to share what we believe the world is struggling and hurting because we're rejecting God. But we still got to live in the reality. We still got to live in the world that's rejecting God. Amen? Elijah said, let there be no rain, but he was going to suffer the effects of no rain for 3 years as well. Amen? He's sitting, at first God takes him to a creek, a little brook, and has him sit there, and he feeds him with crows. That's one of my favorite places in the Bible because, man, as a preacher, as a minister, we think, man, when God calls us, we think, man, we're going places and doing things. Man, we're going to be doing big things. Sometimes you're going to be sitting in places that you don't want to sit. You're going to be drinking water you don't want to be drinking. You're going to be eating food from birds. Amen? It don't look pretty. It don't sound pretty, but God's in it. Amen? God, how neat would that be? These crows come flying in and dropping off food for you. I mean, I bet the first day he's like, no, no, no. Ain't going to happen. You know how birds feed other birds, right? But I'm just saying. About a third day, he's like, you know what? I mean, this is all I got. This better be what I do. I mean, I better take it. Amen? Next thing you know, he's doing pretty good, but the brook starts drying up. When the brook starts drying up, it's time to move on. Amen? And God's word comes to him and says, it's time to go. Verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow, a woman there, to sustain thee. Neat thing. This is the first time a prophet goes unto the Gentiles. Amen? It references in Luke chapter 23, I think, at 17 or 20, I think it's Luke 23. It's referenced there that when Jesus was talking about a prophet is not honored in his own land or in his own nation, that he referred about this story about Elijah going unto the woman, the widow of Zidon. Amen? And what it said is God could have sent her to any of the widows in Jerusalem. But he didn't. He sent him to a widow woman who was a Gentile in the land of Zidon. Amen? But you know what's really neat for all you Bible geeks like me sometimes? The neatest thing is Zidon is literally where Jezebel is from. She was the princess of Zidon. Amen? But then she'd become the queen of Israel. Amen? Jerusalem. Right? Is that pretty cool? No, never mind. See, I did a lot of study on that, and I thought y'all would be blown away with all the wisdom right there. But all this means to me is God will sometimes place you in a scary place where your enemy seems like they're in control, and God will place you into that place, and it'll scare you somewhat because you'll say, wait a minute. There should be more people in that place that will support Jezebel and then destroying me than accepting Christ Jesus or accepting what God's doing in my life. Does that make sense to you? It's like this. Sometimes as ministers, we got ideas of where we want to go. As preachers, as Christians, we have an idea of where we want to go and where we want to serve. And a lot of times God just puts us in a place, it's totally opposite. It's scary because it's where the enemy dwells. Amen? I remember when God first sent me into early ministry, He'd send me in places that when I would go preach, I would go, are you sure, God? Are you sure? I mean, homeless shelters, prisons, youth detention centers. Man, I didn't like those. I'll be honest with you. Youth Attention Center. God's got a real bad sense of humor. Because I said, God, I don't want to go to the youth attention. I didn't want to have anything to do with punk kids. Amen? Is that right, Alberto? That's my adopted son, Alberto, right there. I didn't like punk kids. Amen? I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't have the attitude. Even when people would come to me at first in ministry and say, we want you to be a youth pastor, I'd look at them and say, no. I don't want to be a youth pastor. I just want to preach to everybody. The same message for the little kid will be for the adult. Don't put no title on me. Amen? Now, I was very arrogant in that, but I'm just saying, yeah, I'm showing you God's sense of humor. My friend, Chaplain Wesley, would call me and say, hey, I got an opening on Thursday, and I made this mistake, Mark. You know what I said? God, if I don't have anything scheduled and somebody asks me to preach, I'm going. Amen? Chaplain Wesley calls me and says, I got an opening Thursday. I said, for where? He goes, the Youth Detention Center. Got anything scheduled? No, but I wished I did. Amen? Went down there, man, and they were, like I said, a whole line of them. Coming up. Trying to look hard. 12-year-old kids trying to look hard. I mean, just, well, you, I was like, oh, man, I don't like you punk kids. Amen? Yeah. Then we about to leave, and Chapman said, what are you doing next Thursday? I don't know. I'll have to check my schedule. He goes, well, if you got an opening, let me know. I'd love for you to come back. You did a great job. I don't like it here. Man. And then it went on and on for a while. And finally, Chapman West says, I got somebody else coming next week. Great. But then, you know, not long after that, guess what God did? Called me in to operate in a boy's home. Great, God. Great idea. Take the guy who doesn't want to be a youth pastor, doesn't want to work with punk kids, and move me in with about six of them. Awesome! And you know what he did? He absolutely made me fall in love with the idea of God's got a perfect plan. He puts you in places that you don't always feel comfortable. You don't always feel in control. But that's when God really wants to work and use you in His work. When you don't feel like you're at that, that's your place. That's your stronghold. That's your strong suit. God says, good. That's exactly where I want you. Feeling like you have to totally lean on me. Man. That's where he's at. He's going to a place. Amen. He's in a place going into Zidon where Jezebel, the one that's after him, the one that hates him, the one that wants to destroy him, that he's going into her hometown. Amen. Ain't that cool? God's good like that, ain't he? I'm serious. Do this. If you're really passionate about loving God and following God and seeking God, you wait and see. He'll send you into some places that you'll check twice and to see if it's him sending. Amen? Check this out. It gets really good right here. So he rose and he went down to Zarephath. No, no, no. Let's go back up to verse 9. We got plenty of time. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Y'all got that? A widow woman to sustain that. He's commanded her, right? Y'all need to underline that, highlight that. Because God says it as is if it's matter of fact. I've got a widow woman who's I've commanded to sustain you. Now, if you didn't find yourself in any of the stuff I preached already, hopefully you'll find yourself right here. Somebody God's called, commanded, and has a task and an operation and doesn't even know it yet. You ever been there? Because look, he gets down there in verse 10, he says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. I mean, Susie sees her, he says, hey, sis, hey, grab me a drink of water. See, that's nothing to me and you right now, but I don't know if you caught this on the very first end. They're in a 3-year drought. They're in a 3-year period of no rain. Getting me a drink of water is like saying, hey, go in there and get me the last of your reserves of life. You can live longer with no food than you can live with no water. Amen? Go in there and get me some water. Who in the world do you think you are? Amen? Have you ever had God challenge you when you didn't know what was going on? Who in the world do you think you are, God? Don't you know what I've got? Limited resources. How many excuses have you even given God? I've only got so much water. I've only got so much time. I've only got so much money. I've only got so much effort. God, I give all I can. And now you're wanting to press me out even more and ask me for some more. All he's asking for is what you got. I want y'all to write this down and make sure you know this when you leave here. God never asked any more of this woman than what she had. Some of y'all should shout every once in a while on that. Because sometimes we act like God's trying to ask us to do stuff that's not in our capability of doing. Sometimes we act like God is asking us to do more than we've got to, that we're equipped for. Everybody in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, all he asked him to do is use the tools that are in your hand. Moses, he had a staff. He said, use that. Amen? There's one little woman in the Bible. He said, look, you got some oil? Use that. Go in your house, get every pot and vessel you can get, and keep filling them up until you run out of vessels. God don't want anything more from you than what he's already given you. Amen? We think he's going to give us some amazing talent, some amazing gift that somebody else has got. If that was the case, he would have made you them and not you. Amen? He formed you in the womb. Amen? He didn't form anybody else. He formed you. He knew what he was making when he made you. That's good, right? Because you know what? When he made me, he broke the mold. Because you know what? I spent 2 or 3 or 4 years in my first part of ministry trying to think that I could be somebody else. And every time I say, I don't see it that way. And I don't hear it that way. God, I hear it this way and I see it that way. He said, well, preach it that way. Amen? I don't need a parrot. I need you. I don't need an echo. I need you to share the word. Never mind. I wanted to be the next Billy Graham. I'm not. Neither is anybody else. Amen. I'm just saying. And he arose and he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there and gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And I love the way God does this. He does it as a matter of a fact. He didn't say, if you have it, or hey, if you want to share it. Man, could you imagine if we directly talk like this to people? Go get the water and get me a drink of water. Amen? Whew, right in the middle of a family. Now listen, verse 11. And she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Oh, it's going to get serious now. Because she is on her way to get the water in a drought, and then the man of God stops her and he asks for more. Has God ever asked more from you when you're on your way to do what you thought was cool? Never mind. I've been on my way. God, I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm tithing. You want more? Yep. I don't want more. I want what I can get out of you. Amen. I want you to be obedient what's within your capability that I have already ordained, that I have already made possible because I have commanded it. Golly, I wish I could get a hold of this. See, Elijah's standing there with a promise from God, even though the reality is not meeting up with the promise yet. He's looking at a woman who doesn't have all the things that it looks like to supply his need. I have commanded a widow to sustain your life. Amen. Amen? Go down there. She's ready for you. When he gets down there, she's not ready for him, and she doesn't have everything that she knows of. God, I wish I'd get... I mean, that's big. Because so many times when it seems like God is pressing us to do more or get more out of our lives, we come up with excuses or we don't seem to trust Him with what He's trying to do. Because we want to let... Can you see it? She's holding on to a little bit of life. And thank God she don't hold on to it. Okay, she had a little bit of water and she had a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. Can I write this down? This is all we got. We just got a little bit of life. It's a vapor, friend. That's all we got. We got a little bit of life. And we can hold on to, consume, and devour that little bit of life, or we can let God have it. You know what that reminds me of? Oh boy, it's got them 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Amen? I'll guarantee you, out of 5,000 people, not counting women and children, I'll guarantee you somebody else had something to eat in that crowd. I just guarantee it. Amen? I bet there were some people. Right? I'm getting hungry, and there's a lot of people here. Get this. I bet there's some people hiding it. You know, I'll save that till later. Don't look like we're going to get anything to eat around here. Amen? God, I wish I had some. Some of the little boys looks in. Hey, mister! Hey, Mr. Andrew! I got this 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are they among so many? I mean, what's that? I don't know. I just figure if you put them in his hands, then I think we can all get some. It'd be all right. If you can just somehow get it from my hand to his hand. Andrew, he's a connector. He connects people with Jesus. If you ever read about him in the Bible, he connected Peter, James, and John. He said the one we was looking for, he's always connecting people. He can't help it. That's his nature. You can't help who you are sometimes. He just connected people. He took that lunch up to Jesus. Here it is, but what is it among so many? And Jesus said, have everybody sit down. Have them all sit down. In order. Wasn't that, never mind. That's just cool. Yeah, I could have left on that part right there, just the sit down part. Because you know, I mean, Andrew had the thing. He had that thing to him. And he goes, have them sit down. All of them. Could you imagine how cool that looked? I mean, the world's largest fish fry. Amen? With 5 loaves and 2 fishes, have them all sit down in orders. And all of a sudden, y'all just stay with me. I know I'm on a different message right now, but I'll get back. I hope. Jesus, God, I thank you that somebody's obedient and give of what they didn't get narrow vision. They didn't get down to the point where it's only about them. Now take this, Lord, and bless it. Now listen, this is what he did. He didn't hand it out to all the people. He started giving it to his apostles and the disciples. Here you go. After a while, I bet them jokers were like, yeah! I know Andrew's going, what in the world is happening here? Amen? That little boy's over, that's my lunch. That's my lunch going over there. That's my lunch. There it is. There's my lunch. I could have kept it myself, but there you are. You're eating my fish sandwich. Amen? And the rest of his life, I guarantee, he told him just like this. What do you know about Jesus? I know this. Whatever you give him, he multiplies it. Whatever you don't give him, you'll get rid of it. You'll devour it. It'll go to waste. Amen? Oh, never mind. Ain't that cool? Oh, I love that kind of stuff. That's exactly what's happened here. Hey, while you're on your way, can you do me a favor? Can you get me a morsel of bread? Can you hook me up with a meal? I'm hungry. Ooh. Verse 12, she turns around and says, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. God, I love it. She invoked the Lord, but that's not what she wanted to say. As the Lord lives, I ain't got a cake. Amen? God, I love that. But a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. No, wait a minute. Y'all didn't get... Look up here, verse 9, real quick, if y'all don't mind. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God's plan? Yes. God's plan is, I've got a widow woman who's going to sustain your life. Widow woman's plan. We're dying today. God. That's so big. You know, you can go from dying one day, but when God gets in it to living, amen? Your plan is total destruction. Your plan is it's all we got. Oh, there ain't no more hope. There ain't nothing we can do. There ain't nothing. I wonder, while she was gathering those two sticks, I can't help but think that might be resemblance of the cross. Amen? God, where are you? If there's a God in Jerusalem, if there's a God in Israel, if there's a real God, where are you? Why don't you help us? I hear that you love widows and orphans. I pray. I said, look, I'm a widow and my son, he's going to die. I'm a widow and there's an orphan here. Could you help us out? God said, okay. Even though your plan stinks, I'll send somebody your way. I've had some real stinkers of plans. Have you? Before God got into my life, I had some stinkers. Hey man, I got pretty desperate in life, and I just started thinking, man, I'll do this or I'll do that. I wish I had about one or two real people in here every once in a while say, amen, brother! I had a real stinking plan too. I hatched a couple of ideas. Some of you went through with them. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to take these cakes, these two little sticks, we're going to take these cakes, we're going to eat them, and then we're going to die. I wonder if any time point, it don't say it, but I wonder if Elijah was like, is this the right house? Have you ever wondered, as a child of God, have you ever wandered into something that God totally sent you in and then wondered if it's the wrong place? Say amen. God, I've done that so many times over the last 15 years. Tell God, oh, God sent me, got down there, and you get in the midst of something, amen, that was not in the plan. God says, yes, go, it's this. And you get down there, and next thing you know, you're on your face. And you can't tell where the carpet ends and your face begins, and you're praying, oh, God, help me. I must have made a mistake. No mistake. This is exactly where I wanted you. I hate to tell you this, but God's got an awesome, awesome plan for Christians. He keeps putting you into the same tests, the same trials, and the same situations until He gets you to where He wants you, and He uses people and situations to do it. And I hate to tell you, if you fail the test, He don't mind to give it again. And I don't like that. I don't like that. If you don't pass it with Joe, guess what? Ted's coming. And if you don't pass it with Ted, Mike's coming. Or Charlene, or Charlotte, or Joanne. Oh gosh, y'all better help me out. Ain't that amazing how God keeps giving you some of the same stuff to work out who you are? A lot of times we think it's about the place, we think it's about the ministry, and literally a lot of times it's just about us. God's just working us out. Amen? See, this is about the widow woman, but it's about Elijah. Elijah's a young minister, a young prophet, and he's got to get to trusting in God. And the only way he can do it is for him to get on that chariot and to fly up into glory, he's got to be trained. God, I'm preaching. Hey, if he's going to train Elijah, he's got to learn to be Elijah, amen? He's got to learn how to smite some stuff with the thing that he's wearing, amen? Where he can pass that mantle on to his next one, amen? I want to hand off a legacy to somebody. I want to pass off a great thing, but I've got to learn how to be great. And God don't mind that he will train you in the adversary of life, in the worst places, in the hardest times. And you'll think you're so, man, you'll give a powerful word. Don't let it rain for 3 years. I bet about 6 months into that, Elijah's going, I wished I had not said this. Man, because it's getting pretty dry. And I'm on the run. And I'm getting placed with people that God is stretching their faith and my faith. Amen? Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. Underline that word. Highlight that. If you do whatever you do there, you radical Christian. If you write in your Bible, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. God, there is no fear. There's love casteth out fear. Amen? Perfect love casteth out all fear. Amen? God says, fear not. through Elijah. Elijah's a prophet, so he just tells them, don't fear. Don't think about what's going to happen if you run out. Just think about God sending me here and telling you to do it. Amen? Wouldn't it be good if we all thought like that with God? That we didn't, when He gives us, when He speaks to our heart through His Word or through the Holy Spirit, if we would just blindly follow that by faith, be totally obedient, and say, God, I don't care. It might cost me my job. Oh, never mind, sorry. Some of us, it might, this looks like it could be a career change. I can't see me making money any other way but the way that I've always made it. Man, I've been there. Amen. I worked my whole life. I'm sitting there going, I can't see myself coming out of this factory. I can't see myself coming out of the Shaw Industries. I got a pretty good, man, I fought for a day shift job. Amen. I got in the supply room. I want to be here. God, I've got good insurance. Amen. You told Him all the stuff, right? I told Him every bit of it. He trumped it, though. He trumped it. Guess what? That place doesn't even exist anymore. Shaw does. But that job doesn't. Thank God. Amen? Thank God that I was just smart enough to say, okay, I think I can trust you. Amen? You think that's bold? I've took a lot of risk in my life. That one right there, she took a bigger risk. Move where? Just in a boys' home. It's all right. Just, you know, you didn't hear that last part, but we're going. Amen. God's in it. Where? Boys' home. Just pray about it. What? Amen. She's got two kids. Amen. Of her own. We're going to move in with six troubled youth. Amen. God. I didn't ever think, God, you're going to do a big miracle work to get her on board. That ain't going to happen. So if you can get her, that's good. She calls me back maybe 30 minutes later. I'm good with it. Whatever you think's right. Go! All right then, Lord. Amen. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. Wait a minute. We weren't planning for a party of three. Amen. Now listen, ain't this cool? I wish we were this way with everybody, but did you know Elijah didn't chastise her, didn't jump all over and say, what a terrible plan. He just said, no, you stick with your plan. God, never mind. I get excited when I hear stuff like that. Stick with your plan, but first, before you do that, making the cake thing and dying, make me one first. Amen? Because making me one, making God one first, is going to change your whole world. Amen? You think, oh, it's just a little thing. Yeah, just a little bit of faith will change everything. You can move mountains. Amen? So what he's saying is, if you do this thing first, then in the midst of that, God's going to show you something that's going to be amazing. Amen? God, I love this stuff. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I hope you get this more than anything else. That meal barrel is Jesus Christ. That meal and that oil is Jesus. Not that that's the person. I'm talking about it's a representation of Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know? Because it's something that never runs out. Amen? It didn't run over, but it never ran out. Amen? Sometimes it don't run over in your life, but it don't run out. God, I would love if there's a HD screen in glory. If there is a place where we could watch this on HD TV, that's where I want to be. I want to see that woman go in there for that first cake and pat it out and go in there for the second cake. And as she's dipping those cakes out into her hand and going, oh my God, it's not going away. Never mind. Pouring the oil out. I don't care how smart you are. That's about a teacup. That's about a teaspoon of oil. Still a teaspoon. Still a teaspoon of oil. Still a teaspoon of oil! I wonder if she got to worshiping every time she got to cook. Amen? I wonder if she got to the place where, son, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Is anybody in here hungry? Why? Because the meal barrel. I just want to dip my hand in there, and when I take it out, I just want to see where there's more meal in there. And I want to pour out the oil, because every time I pour it out, there's more oil. That's how God is. Every time I thought I've got to the end of Him. Every time I thought that I've, there He is. Never runs out. Never gives up. Never quits. Never disappears. Never ends for me. There He is. If I go in there and I dip out, guess what? There'll be some more there. Problem is, a lot of times we don't go back and dip out. We've done it so many times. Oh, I've already managed to watch this. This is pretty cool. Amen. It's just like the fishes and the loaves. Has to be. Every time they handed one out of the basket. Where are these things coming from? That same Jesus in the Old Testament. That same God in the Old Testament. It's the same God in the New Testament. That same God is today. Amen. If you really put your trust and faith in Him, He'll never run out. He might not always run over. There might be times where you say, man, God, why didn't the meal barrel just fill all the way up and just run over? That's not how God works all the time. Sometimes you got to dig deep. Amen? Sometimes you got to dig deep. And He gives you just enough to get by sometimes. Amen? Just enough. Why? Because, praise God, we got to remember every day we got to lean on Him. Y'all remember Paul, what Paul did? Paul had a thorn in his flesh. And he went to God and he said, God, remove this thorn in my flesh. He goes, no. Keeps you humble. Keeps you to the point where you're relying on me. Amen? He goes, without that thorn in your flesh, then you would never have to trust in me. He did it three times. God, remove this. Everybody, I think it's his sight. I don't know. It could be anything. But I like the fact that God let him keep it. No, wait a minute. Y'all don't. You know, Paul healed a boy that fell out of a second story deal when he was preaching. He preached so long this boy fell asleep. Amen. That's why I like reading the Bible too. I find stuff like that and I think I ain't preached long enough because nobody's fell out on the floor. But the boy fell out and he died. And Paul prayed for him and he came back alive. And here's the good part, Tony. He kept preaching. Never mind. He kept preaching. But the cool thing about that is Paul still had the thorn in his flesh and he could raise somebody from the dead. Amen? Through the power of Christ. But could you imagine being able to raise somebody from the dead, but then you couldn't get around an issue that you had? Woo! My grace will suffice. Amen? My grace will suffice. I bet that's a cool answer. Hey, God, help me out in this one area. I've got a deficiency right here. No, my grace, that'll be good for that. He said it was a messenger of Satan. Did y'all hear that? There's certain things in my life that the devil will wear me out about. How about you? Well, if God's so big, why don't He do that for you? If God's so done, if God's so real, why did He do this? Amen. I play that game a lot. You know what I ask when I say, God, what about this situation? The devil's wearing me out. You know what he says? My grace is sufficient. Keep digging in the meal barrel. I'm not going to let it run over, but I'm never going to let it run out. Amen? Let's all stand as I come get a song. Hope God spoke to your heart tonight. And if He has...